Hebrews, that's where I'm going to start. Chapter 11. There are four references to the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk says the just shall live by his faith. It's the only of the four that includes the word his. Gives us responsibility for our faith. You live by your faith. Now, a lot of people that come from prayer are other reasons, and not everybody, but some are just going to live on your faith. They haven't tried to read and pray and shoulder themselves up. And that's very important that I can agree with you, that I'm not just putting 100% of all I am into your recovery, that you're at least coming up to 5%, 10%, 50% would make me real happy. One lady came to me and she had a plan. Well, the more she described her plan, the more I thought, that's probably not God. Now, I can't tell you unless you contradict the word of God. If you say, I feel led to commit adultery because my wife or husband was not faithful to me, then I can help you. You're contrary to the word. She wasn't contrary to the word, but it just was an unusual plan. I thought, I don't think so. And so I did what I would do. I put a stall on her. I said, you know, let's you and I pray about this for a couple of weeks. You don't have to do this tomorrow, do you? I'm trying to slow her down, keep her from making a mistake, because I'm pretty sure it's a mistake. And she said, oh, you sound just like my husband. He said this was a dumb idea. And so that gave me freedom to say, well, I'm kind of in agreement with him. I said, let's don't do this for a long time. Let's continue to pray about it and make sure. And I don't know if she did or she didn't reappear. But she wanted me to put all I am in with her faith, and her faith was misplaced. We can't agree with misplaced faith. We can't agree with no faith. You have to have something going for you. So the call for the elders of the church, let them pray over you in the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord shall save the sick. And I'm putting all that I am, pastor and the ministers here, putting what they are, what they know, in agreement with you. And that means that you're a word person. Now it says the just shall live by faith. That's the word person. The just shall live by faith. And it says live by his faith in Habakkuk. Galatians says the just shall live by faith in chapter 3. And Romans 1 says the just shall live by faith. And Hebrews in chapter 10 says the just shall live by faith. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I'll inform you. You're living 24 hours a day. So all of those are faith hours. Even when you're asleep, you believe the Lord gives his beloved sleep. You're sleeping with that scripture in your heart. And there are others if you need those. You let our office know. We can locate those for you. Now, it says the just shall live by faith. If we're going to live by faith, and Corinthians says the just shall walk by faith. That's the word walk is significant because everybody's supposed to walk. Nobody's supposed to crawl through life. Right? You got that? We're going to walk. And so we're faith people. And so maybe my faith's not up to par. You can help my faith. I like that. We don't have to walk alone. But I also know that I need to make a contribution if you're going to agree with me. You got that right? And so we need to know what faith is because we're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. What is faith? And it's in chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is, this is what faith is, the substance, which is ordinarily the word assurance in a lot of the translations. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives you evidence that the things you don't see are actually yours. Faith is your evidence. It's also your assurance or your confidence. Now, faith and hope work together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There are two avenues of hope. There's misplaced hope. That's because that's the way I want it, and that's the way I see it, and that's the way I have to have it. And it's just mental and emotional. It's of the flesh. It's not hope in God and hope in his promise. It's just the way I have to have it. I've just made up my mind. That's the way I'm going to have it. Now, one man came and he said, tell God he has to do this. He has to do this. Tell him. You tell him he has to do this. And he's yelling at me. Well, I don't mind you yelling at me because I'm pretty, pretty sturdy. But that kind of prayer won't work. See, and there's a hope that's just emotional. It's just what you think and what you would like and what would be good for you according to you. But there's the hope that's founded in God. And there are numerous, numerous scriptures that say, hope thou in God, or say, God is your hope. Hope is expectation. What do you expect? What do you need? What do you expect? What do you think God is doing for you? Hope thou in God. So faith, which comes from hearing the word, and hope are both of God. So if I'm going to walk successfully, I have to walk in faith and hope that God plants in my heart. It comes by reading, it comes by meditating and praying, but there is a faith and a hope that will anchor me and hold me steady until I see. I'm not hoping because I'm desperate. I'm hoping because God has spoken. God has spoken. You'll see that all through the scriptures. Now look through to Noah chapter 7. I want to show you some people whose faith and hope made them successful. Now Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. It's things not seen that cause us to be fairly desperate. Have you noticed that? Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Righteousness is by faith. It comes to you through your dedication, your commitment to the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are righteous. Righteousness and justification are the same identical word in the Greek, and it means to be fully surrendered to God, be fully acceptable to God because of what Jesus has done for you and your acceptance of the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has done. And so Noah was righteousness long before the cross. He was righteousness through his obedience, through his faith in God. Righteousness doesn't come by perfect behavior. And if you didn't know this, there isn't any such thing as perfect behavior. You got that part? So look at Genesis. Let's go to Noah. I want to show you a couple of things. Do you see Noah heard from God? He said, being warned of God. Genesis 6. We're talking about faith that works. And it works because God has spoken, and because you have the spoken word in your heart. You know what God has said, and you've schooled yourself to be obedient to God and to rule out the voices that you hear. Usually it's your own voice, my own voice, that really are not the direction of God for you. Everything that looks good is not good. Right? Are you all asleep?
Yes.
You're okay? Genesis, this is Noah. Now, Noah built a boat. Why did he build a boat that big? We looked up the technology of building a boat that big, and according to some writers, there wasn't any technology that would allow you to build a boat that big for maybe hundreds and thousands of years. So see, God can do all things. And Noah is walking with God. Now, that's what it says in verse 9. These are the generation Noah. Noah was a just man. Remember, his righteousness came by his faith in God. Perfect. Love that word. Although it doesn't mean, it just means complete. It doesn't mean without mistake. And Noah walked with God. Now, that's the way we're going to be successful, as we walk with God. Wayne and I walk together. We've been married 58 years now. And we are very together people. I don't usually do things without him. He doesn't do anything without me. That's just the way we function. It doesn't have to be the way you function. But that's the way we function, and we walk together. But when I walk with God, then what God has said, the reading of the scripture and the daily prayer and the meditation is my walk with God. It shores me up. It stabilizes my spirit so that I can hear his voice and be in the right place. How would you like to be at the right place at the right time with the right words? I know you've been in a situation, maybe this was a place or the time, but you didn't know what to say. You've done that? Me too. Or maybe it's, you do know exactly what to say, but your timing is way off. You shouldn't have said it today. Been there? Mm-hmm. And the minute you say it, you think, oh boy, that didn't go over. He walked with God. He knew God. Now, he had three sons. They were all married. And God says, I'm going to destroy the earth. It's the world. It's extremely evil. And I want you to build this huge boat. A boat that size out of gopher wood. And I don't know anything about gopher wood, but it wouldn't matter if it was oak or any pine or any other kind of wood. It's going to take a considerable amount of time. You do know he didn't have a chainsaw to hand cut all that wood. and to make the boat. Now, when God first speaks of Noah, he was 500 years old, and when he entered that boat, he was 602 months. That's a whole 100 years of boat building. Now, why would you stick to something that long? See, we're inclined to stick it out a while and then give up. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Took too long, it was too hard. Well, that's just too hard. I sent Suzanne sent me to the store one day. She did a lot of our cooking when she was in her teens. She liked to cook, and it was a real blessing. And she wanted a particular mushroom. Well, I went and I looked at all the mushrooms, but I do not know my mushroom. Do you know your mushrooms apart? And if they're not labeled, I don't know. And so I asked the kid, he's stocking, and I said, can you show me this mushroom? And he looked at me, he said, I don't know one mushroom from the other. And when you don't know what you're facing and you're not standing with God and you haven't meditated and heard his word so that you know what's up and what your part is, you're going to be confused and you make the chance of making the wrong decision, of being in the wrong place, or saying the wrong word, or choosing the wrong time. But when you know, now when we go to Russia, she fixes a mushroom casserole. She doesn't like it. She does that for me because I like it. And it's quite yummy. And when you take those old Russian ladies to the woods, they know their mushrooms apart. They know this one's poison, this one's poison. Okay, this one you can eat. It's a fascinating. How did they get there? Well, their mama probably took them and trained them. See, I'm to be trained in the Word. I'm to follow those people who know the Word so that I can make the right decision, the right time, so I can know when God has spoken. When I can know, like this little lady, she didn't have a clue that God couldn't have said that to her. Her husband picked up on that, see, but she didn't. And so we could put the brakes on her. I can't tell you that it wasn't God unless God specifically speaks to me or unless it contradicts the Word. I will agree with you that your heart and your mind will be found in God and you will see what you should or shouldn't do. And it will be very clear to you. And that's why we need the body, because nobody here is brilliant. You know, and sometimes I was studying Hope yesterday, and I would have said, I said, Suzanne, see if we've got any, we have vast files. Everything we've taught has been outlined, for the last 40 years or so. I said, see if you can find anything on Hope. Well, I know there's nothing in Hope on there, because I can remember I never taught Hope before. And here she comes with a file. And I looked through it, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I taught this a lot, didn't I? I couldn't remember that. I didn't remember that. And I read over some of those notes, and I thought, well, Hope's not for tomorrow. Forget Hope. We're going to go with faith, which is what I thought we should do anyway. I just wanted to, because it said faith and hope, I wanted you to know faith and hope. Hope is your expectation. It's what you know God is doing. It's your stand in the Word and by the Spirit. And it's your faith and hope that work together that bring to pass the thing you're believing. You've got to have faith and hope. Now, here is a surprise. Are you ready for a surprise? You know 1 Corinthians 13, the three factors, love, faith, and hope. Do you know only one of those is eternal? Mm-hmm. You're not going to need hope in heaven.
Right.
You're not going to need faith. The only thing that's eternal of that trio is love. Is that amazing?
Yes.
And if you don't believe that, that won't make any difference today. Today you need all three. Now look, verse 22, chapter 6. Noah did according to all the Lord God commanded him. Why did he build the boat? Because God spoke to him and said, build the boat. The earth was watered from the ground up. It had never rained. He had never seen rain. God is talking to him about rain that he had never seen. Now, I was interested in a man who was at Christmas time teaching on the birth of Jesus. And he said, when Mary asked, how can this be? And Jesus, and they said, the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. He said, now, how many of you think she understood that and knew exactly what that meant? Well, I doubt it. And it's like Noah. It's going to rain from the sky. Never had seen that. Because it always came up from the ground. Why did he build a boat to save a nation from rain when he had never seen rain? Because God had spoken. And why are you making the decisions that you're making? Because God has spoken. That's the reason. So it says Noah walked with God. And it is my walk with God and my consistency with God that teaches me the voice of God and the voice of the Spirit. And I begin to be able to judge in better measure what is right and what's wrong. Now, here's the deal. We're not always obedient. You knew that, right? Years ago, we had this little neighbor we've had since, number of people. It's on the edge of our property, so I can't technically. I don't hear a word she says, but she's real chatty. Little old lady, and she'd holler at me, and she'd wave, and she'd just talk, and I'd go, wow, good. Wayne said, what is she talking about? I said, well, I don't know. I can't hear that. So one day, the Lord spoke to me very clearly about taking her an apple pie. Well, I have a unique recipe for apple pie that came from my mother's sister, who's been with the Lord now a number of years. And I just tell you, I'm not a cook. I don't like to cook. I can cook. I'm a decent cook. I don't like to. I don't want to. Don't ask me. And here's the Lord. And it is the Lord. And I know it's the Lord. I don't want to do it. See, everything that comes to you does not agree with your mind, your will, and your emotions. But when you make Jesus Lord, you make him supreme in authority over your life. And when he speaks, you say, yes, sir, I'll do that. Well, it took me about 3 days. We're surrounded by ditches and canals, and they are full today. But that day they weren't, and I went over to see if I had to get in the car and go all the way around, which is, although she's right over there, if you go around in the car, it takes a while. And the ditch was only this much water, so I waded through. Went around to the front door, knocked on the door, called her by name, and said, I brought you an apple pie. And she was quite surprised, but she's a nice lady. And she didn't know I had never heard a word she said, though she's talked to me a lot. And I went, she said, come in. And I looked over. She had this nice piano. And there were the three children. And I said, those are, and I called them by name. And she said, how did you know that? I said, I was their babysitter. Now, I wasn't raised in Auburndale, and I was raised in Auburndale. They didn't live in Lakeland, but they were down. Daddy was at 304, and they were at 308. And I babysat for them one time, and I still remembered their name. Well, why did the Lord send me? What if I hadn't gone? Well, you would have missed a phenomenal story of my life. But I'm not writing my memoirs. You write them if you're interested. And Suzanne will give you the details. I'm not even talking about it. But you see, it says Noah walked with God. He walked in we walk in the Word. He walked in what God dealt with him in his spirit, in his heart, in his inward man. He wasn't even born again, and he didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside. So you're extremely advantaged. You're born again. You have the life and nature of God. The Holy Ghost lives in you, and he's to guide you into all truth. He's to show you things to come. And it was him that says, bake her an apple pie. Do you know about the apple pie in the paper bag? Wow. I'm not telling you.
Yes, you okay. are.
Okay. Now look at, we go from Noah. The reason Noah built that ark is because God spoke to him, and he knew God spoke to him, and he knew he was supposed to build an ark. And the reason he hung in there 100 years, are you getting that part? 100 years, with the help of his 3 sons. Now, you know children aren't always invested in what you're invested in. They're not always thrilled with what you're thrilled with. You knew that, right? Now, they were big boys. They were married. And we're just assuming, though the scripture doesn't say, that they were very, very cooperative and very, very helpful. Now, there's a lot of faith going there with Noah because he's got to load that ship with animals. 2 of every kind. Now, you just thumb through National Geographic. There's a lot of animals out there. And he's got to make a place for the ant and the giraffe. The rhinoceros, and the sheep, and the dogs. And he said he walked with God, and he knew he'd heard from God, and he was faithful to the task, no matter how long it took. See, that's me. I'm going to be faithful to the task, even if it's bigger than I can imagine. That's a pretty big job. I've got to walk with God. Now, here's the second thing, and it's back to Hebrews. We'll read one verse there, and then we'll go back to Genesis and talk about Abraham. Verse 8 says, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He what?
Obeyed.
He what?
Obeyed.
You know, if you walk with God, but you say, I'm not doing that, you wouldn't do that, right? Oh, everybody's done it once. And he went out, not knowing where he went. God asked him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Now, here's the Mediterranean Sea, right here. Here's Israel, right here. Here's the promised land right here. Do you know where Ur of the Chaldees is? It's on the other side of the Arabian Desert. It's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous walk. And he said, leave your family behind. So he walked from here up a river. He didn't walk across the desert. He walked from Ur up to the city here, which is at the top of the promised land, which is on the Mediterranean Sea. Mediterranean Sea, promised land, Ur of the Chaldees. He walked up this way. He took his father, and his father died there. He stayed there till his father died. He was instructed of God to not take his family. So he stayed here. Now, he took Lot because Lot was his brother's son. His brother had died. He stayed there, and the whole time, he had no destination except to daily hear from God. That was it. He said he obeyed God. He obeyed what he knew day by day. And when he went into the promised land, he built an altar and he worshiped God. He obeyed and he worshiped. If we walk with God and we obey what he said and we worship God, we're going to be on the precipice of great victory every single time. And it all comes from the fact that God had spoken. God said, leave. Now it says, if you read the life of Abraham, and you should, it says Abraham was very wealthy in cattle and in silver and gold. He was very wealthy. Now, I don't know how much that was, but Abraham had a huge, it wasn't Abraham and Sarah and a handful of people, a few servants. Abraham had, according to the scripture, 318 trained soldiers, that's soldiers who could go to war, soldiers who could protect them. 318, and it said they were born in his house. Abraham had a staff of thousands. You get that? Well, that makes a pretty big trek across up the river and into the promised land. And he doesn't own anything there, and God never did specify a particular direction or a particular land for him. He lived all his life obeying God and never knowing exactly where God wanted him, except from day to day. See, what we like details. Don't you like details? One lady called me, and she was baking a cake that she's, have you ever baked that? I said, well, yeah, but years ago. She said, well, this frosting, is it confectioner sugar frosting? Is it boiled frosting? What is it? And I said, I can't remember. Mama made that one all the time, but you know, some things went to heaven with Mama. You know that? And I said, I don't know. And so she called back later and she said, well, I chose the wrong one. I said, well, I'm so sorry. Try the other one. It'll be the one that will work. Mother made an Easter cake. She made it in three layers. A big layer, a smaller layer, and a smaller layer on top. And she dyed the coconut green, and each layer was surrounded by green grass. That's what it's supposed to be. And she hid jelly beans in it every Easter. Well, when Mama died, Kimberly, who's my niece, said, who's going to bake the Easter cake? Who's going to bake Granny's Easter cake? Panic was setting in. So I said, Kimberly, I don't know. Have you got three pans? I have three pans. She baked it. Now, it was good, but it wasn't like Mama's. See, we don't want to just come close to the will of God. We don't want to come close to perfection. We want to obey. We want to be at the right place at the right time with the right word. That's what I want to be. Every time. Not just, oh, I remember that. That was 1975, and we were exactly where we... That was a wonderful year, because we were at all the right conventions. We did all the right... Oh, it was wonderful. It's not enough to have a moment of success. It's a walk with God. It's obedience to God. Now, God tells who has no child that he's going to be a nation. Well, the only way to be a nation without children is to be appointed to some kingdom. And then God said, later said, you're going to have children like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. And here's an old man, he's now 75, with no child whatsoever, and God says... See, we have to school ourselves to know that when God speaks, God spoke to him. Let me read you that verse. It's in Genesis. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. So shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord. He believed that. 75-year-old man who was still without a child at 100. Isaac was born around his 100th birthday. She was 10 years. You can tell the scripture gives us numbers, which I love. She was 10 years younger than him. So when he was 75 and God made the promise, she's already 65. I don't know if you know your medical history or not, but that's not childbearing ages. And he said he believed that. He believed that. See, it doesn't matter how impossible it is, because all things are possible with God and all things are possible to him that believe. If God says it and I believe that and I hold fast to that, he held fast 25 years. Do you know what was wrong, why it took 25 years? His name was Abram, father of a multitude. All right, Abram means high father, exalted father. In other words, someone important in the land, someone who has an office, someone who runs things. And when he was 99, the Lord said to him, change your name to Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude. It was in his confession that that child came to pass. He spent 24 years saying, I'm an important person in the neighborhood. I'm Abram. And God said, I'm changing your name to Abraham. Now, if I change my name, and I am not 100 yet, but I just changed my name, and I'm not going to be Becky or Rebecca anymore. I'll just be Mabel. We don't have a Mabel, do we? I don't like to insult anybody. I'll just be Mabel. I could be my grandmother. Her name was Letty. You know any Letties? Aren't you glad some things pass away? And I began to say, no, don't call me Becky anymore. That's not my name, nor I've changed my name. You'd think, what is wrong with her? Abraham changed his name, and he began to tell the community, I'm Abraham. They said, who? See, in those days, names were very specific. They meant something. One mother named her child. It was an interesting name. And I said, And she said, well, let me explain it to you. And it all meant something to her. It didn't mean anything to me, but it meant something to her. And I said, wow, I see that. That's good. Good. We don't do that anymore too much. You know, it's just a name. You liked it and you used it and you chose it. Said, he believed God. He just believed that. I'm going to be the father. I'm going to be a father. Sarah's going to give birth to my child. Now, he had no heirs, and so he said to God, you know I don't have a child. I think we do that to God some, which in case he doesn't know, in case he's confused. I mean, you know I'm really sick. You knew that, right? And God, let me read that to you. Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Your head steward would have inherited his estate of thousands of people, of herds. He had to have cooks and child care people and shepherds. And he had 318 people to protect the property and the stuff. And he believed God. You'd have thought all he needed was his own ability and his own... You know, he had enough. And when Lot got taken away and word came to him, Lot's been taken captive, He gathered up his trained servants, his military, his militia. They went and got Lot, defeated the enemy. You'd have thought, what does he need with God's promise? You see, God's promise was beyond his physical ability. And it doesn't matter what God promised you. If you can't do it, that doesn't matter. See, he just believed that God had spoken. Now look at Romans 4. Now people won't believe that when you say, why are you doing that? And you'll say, well, because God's spoken. But do you really care if you're successful, what they thought? I don't. I always change the subject. I say, well, how's your dog? I was talking to a lady who didn't have a dog. And she was ditching us big time. And I was thinking, the whole time she's going, blah, 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 I'm thinking, she does not have a dog. I'm thinking, how do I ditch her? You're not going to bury me in disbelief. I won't go for it. Amen. I'm not going to be rude. So finally I remembered, oh, yeah. And I said, how about, and she was silent for a minute, and she said, you changed the subject, didn't you? I said, well, tell me about your craft things you do, you're doing. I know you're doing something because you're always busy and you have beautiful, you do work, beautiful workmanship, and we successfully changed the subject. I am not going into doubt because you're in doubt. I am not going to falter because you can't believe. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to guide you to the scripture. I'm going to tell you about the power and the might of our God who opened the Red Sea. Why did Moses put his rod, a rod, out over the Red Sea and watch it part? And it parted in the land under the water should have been mushy or very moist, and it was dry. Why did he do that? Why did he stand at the edge of that? And because God spoke. That's the reason. All I have to know is God speaking to me? Is he speak to me? Is that the promise that he gave? God spoke. God spoke to Noah. It's going to rain. Noah didn't know about rain. He spoke to Abraham. He said, leave your home. He left. He stayed long enough for his father to go on. And then he went into the land and he traveled from place to place all the days of his life without inheriting what God had promised him, and he never wavered from this is our land. And then that dream passed on to Isaac, who believed it, and to Jacob. Now, why did Joseph, who was, and head of Pharaoh's feeding program, I didn't realize that some things you don't come to clear, and I read this translation, and it said, this was Abraham and his son and his grandson. And I went, Abraham and his son and his grandson? You didn't think about them all living at the same time, did you? Huh? You're right. Abraham and his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. And Jacob's son Joseph, who was the head of Pharaoh's feeding program. So that he was part Hebrew and part Egyptian. And when he died, he said, when he was old enough to die, he said to the people, the Israelis, when you leave this land and go to the land that God is giving you, nobody in four generations had any idea about the land that God had promised, and nobody wavered. Now, why are you healed? Why are you healed? Because God has spoken. God said so. He's spoken. He said that. He said, Becky, by my stripes, you're healed. Amen. That's why I'm healed. Well, you're like me. Some days you don't feel too healed. You don't look too healed. Because God has spoken. All I need in my spirit is what God has said. God is trustworthy. When God speaks, he speaks what he definitely is going to do. It says his counsel is immutable. Now, I don't go to movies, you know that. I don't care if you go, as long as you make wise choices. But I didn't see Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you see that?
No.
Have no idea. But the word mutant means they can change. But God says, my word is immutable. No, it's not changing. That's what I said. That's what I'm doing. I said you were healed. You are healed. Now, in decades past, a lady came to me with a book, and it was called Healed of Cancer. She said, is this possible? Well, I was new at things, and I wasn't too sure. I said, I'll read it. Well, when this man had cancer and he got sicker and sicker, so he couldn't go to work any longer and finally ended up in the hospital. And the doctor came in and told his wife, "I'll be here in the morning to help you make funeral arrangements." And her pastor came and he said, "I'll be here in the morning to stand by your side and I'll help you make the final arrangements for his body." That's the faith that she's surrounded by. They did not know or believe what God had said. See, all I have to do, and I don't care what anybody else does, I got to believe. Now, her husband went into a coma earlier that day and or day before, and he said to her, "Don't you ever turn me loose of me. I'll live and not die." And she watched him go into a coma, and she watched him until you could hear him breathe. And then the day came, the hour came during the night, you couldn't hear him breathe anymore. And the nurses came running because they know he's dead because they can't hear him because they could hear him down the hall. And Jesus had come and he was totally healed because he knew what God said. And he said, God said, "I will live and not die. I will live and not die." And he told his wife. And she had a vision of a freezer that had a bird in it that had frozen. And somebody opened that freezer lid and the bird that's frozen thawed out and flew away. And she knew that was her husband who was, she interpreted that he would indeed live and not die. So God gave her a vision to help her faith because he's a nice God. He's a really nice God. Now, look at Romans 4. You're getting all this, right?
Yes.
Took me 2 days to figure out how to say all this. I even got frustrated. Okay. Verse 18 is talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Okay, he had no physical hope, no expectation of fathering a child, no expectation of her giving birth to a child. Now, we looked that up years ago, Suzanne and I, and the oldest birth on record was a lady that was 63. I don't know, maybe God knew that and that's the reason he waited so long, but actually he's waiting on Abraham to say what he's saying, to say. Faith is what you hear and say. Well, he didn't have any physical hope. It can't be. But yet he believed in hope. Where did he get the hope he believed in? Now, the hope he knew wasn't going to happen is just because he knows the physical structure of man, and it's too late. But he believed in hope anywhere. Why did he believe anyway when there wasn't? This is impossible, and he believed. God had spoken. All you need to know is, what has God said to you? What did he speak? He said, "By Jesus' stripes, Becky, you're healed." He said, "Becky, I sent my word and healed you." And I love Exodus, the verse that says, "I'm the Lord, and it's health I bring to you." What has God spoken? The condition of your body cannot take precedent over what God has spoken. Amen. What God has spoken is at the top of the victory. Now look, he didn't have any hope. Yes, he did have hope. He didn't have physical hope. He had hope that came from heaven. He said that he might become the father of nations according to what? That which was spoken. He believed he was going to be a father of nations according to that which was spoken. He's simply standing on what God had told him, what God had said to him. "So shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith." See, hope and faith work together. They both come from God, and they're necessary for victory. We use the word hope like "I hope so." I said, "Mabel coming to the party?" I said, "Well, I invited her. We don't know if she's coming. We hope she's coming." That's not Bible hope. Bible hope is confident expectation. It's used in reference to Jesus coming again. Have we got our fingers crossed and hope he comes again like we use the word hope? Maybe so, could be. No, he is coming. He is coming, and hope means to expect. And when you expect God's word to come to pass, then hope grabs hold of your faith, and your faith and your hope. Hope says this is what is coming, and faith says it's already paid for. It's yours today. Now the body has to have time to get in that groove. Instance better. But if there's a delay, if there's a recovery period, as often there is, that's okay too. But you can't turn loose. You can't turn loose. God spoke. God said you were healed. God spoke. He said you were healed. He said, "I sent my word and healed you." He said, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." God spoke. I'm sure my doctor, my chart is marked. It is. I know it's marked because I saw part of it, but I always, and they wanted me to do something I didn't, it just didn't sit well with my spirit, and I said, I'll have to get back to you. I'm going to pray about it first. And he went, what? I said, I'll have to pray about it first. Make sure it's the will of God for me. And this is like you, this is what he did. I have to know if God has spoken. I have to know if he's spoken. Maybe he says, don't take that. Maybe he says, take two orders of that. I don't know. You know why I didn't know what he said? I hadn't taken time to walk with him and to obey him and to hear his voice and to know what he'd said. Now, you don't have to be as disagreeable as I am. I'm sure my chart says something. I forget the word it used. Non-compliant, something like that. It doesn't matter to me. I cannot undertake anything in doubt.
Yes, amen.
Can't. Won't. But that doesn't mean I'll pray about it next year. It means I'm going to go home and pray about it and get right back to him and let him know, okay, write the prescription. I'm going to take that, you see. What has God spoken to you? What has he said to you? Abraham believed in a child that he couldn't possibly bring to pass. He believed it. Actually didn't believe it but a year. It was 25 years from the time God first spoke, but he didn't believe it but a year. The last year when he began to say, I'm Abraham, I'm a father. I'm Abraham the father. I'm Abraham the father. And then he didn't know. He traveled the whole land, didn't know where he was supposed to go. The scripture is very clear that he did not have any idea where he was supposed to go, except in that section of land. And Joseph said, you take my bones when you go. The fact, the promise of God was embedded in every single generation.
Wow.
They didn't see, but they heard what God had said. Now, it says he was fully persuaded. That's as opposed to being sort of persuaded, almost persuaded. I thought this would be earlier. Whatever excuse you use, throw it out. Fully persuaded, that's verse 21. And verse 20 said he staggered not. But the thing that makes us stagger so is time. It's the clock. And you become pain-oriented and time-oriented, and you begin to turn loose of what God has said. And when we turn loose of what God has spoken, we will not have victory. Because God is trustworthy. They knew God, when God says it, it is coming to pass. Now it says, hope is the anchor of the soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions, and that's where I need anchoring. Sometimes, you know, your brain betrays you. Have you ever been there? But yet if I have hope, hope says this is what I expect. This is what God has said. God has spoken. This is, if I have hope, I can bring that back to my mind and I can anchor my mind and keep from jumping ship. The minute I realize I'm wavering, I'll go back to the Word and back to my notes where God has spoken or given specific direction, and I re-anchor. Because I can't afford, no matter what my body, your body has said, it's not happening, it's never going to happen, you're going to die. And I said, you know what? I knew I was going to die. I knew it. But I'm not going today. I'm not going this decade. I can't guarantee I won't go. You know, I'm getting pretty close to 90 the next decade. And so who knows? But I'm not jumping ship until I have fought a good fight and I have finished my race.
Amen.
That's when I'm finished. You understand that? What has God said to you? Now, let me give you one more tip. There's more lesson, but we can't do it today. God called Moses to lead the people out of Israel. And you know what he said? I'm really not a good spokesman. You've made a wrong choice here. This won't work for me. Is that amazing? And then he called Gideon. He said, Gideon. And Gideon said, no, to lead the battle against the Midianites, defeat the Midianites for the people. And Gideon said, no. He said, my father's household is the poorest household anywhere. Nobody's any poorer than we are, and I'm the very least member of my household. Moses and Gideon both telling God, this is not working, and this isn't going to work. And God said to Moses, and this is so phenomenal, God said to Moses, I will be with your mouth. I will be with your mouth. In other words, I'll see to it that you can communicate clearly to these people. And he said, no, I can't. I just can't. You're going to have to dish, I can't, and you're going to have to ditch, it's not working. And so he gave Moses, he said, all right, I'll give you Aaron, and I'm going to speak to you. No, I'm not speaking to Aaron, I'm going to speak to you, and you tell Aaron, and Aaron can tell the people. But see, Moses missed the opportunity to never stutter again and to never have confused speech again. God offered that to him, and he says, I can't. See, I have to go just by what God has spoken. If he calls me to lead, when God called me to teach, I was not a teacher. I thought, really? Never taught. I did substitute one time. Wayne's mother taught sixth grade boys, I believe it was. They got desperate for a substitute. And I was, Wayne and I were just newly married. And I went up and did what I could do, but I was not a teacher. But when God speaks, see, he spoke to you about your health. He said, I want you to prosper and be in health. That's 3 John, even as your soul prospers. He spoke to you. He spoke to you. Don't turn loose of what he spoke to. And he spoke to Gideon, and Gideon set out a fleece. Now, forget the fleece business. That day is over. You cannot set out a fleece. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside. You ask him. He will guide you. You don't need a fleece. Gideon was not born again. He didn't have the Holy Ghost in any measure, and he's just checking God out. Well, not too wise. But in the end, he submitted to the will of God, and the Midianites were military with great might of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and Gideon defeated them with 300 soldiers. 300 without weapons. He defeated them with lamps and lights. And he stationed them around the camp in the valley of the Midianites. And when he gave the signal, everybody lit their lamp. And when the Midianites woke up, it was nighttime, they could see the lights all over the mountain. And they ran for cover and were killed because they thought there was many people out there just by reason of the light. They didn't defeat them with rifles, by the way, which they didn't have. They didn't defeat them with spears. And you can defeat your enemy with the light and the lamp of God. Amen. And don't say it won't work if God said it will. It will. Yeah. Hold on. God has spoken. Yes. Get you a journal. When God speaks to you, write that down. Amen. Me, I write everything on pieces of paper. It's terrible. Then I have about 3 months in, gather all of my pieces of paper and hope I dated them all, put them all in order, and I always see something I'd totally forgotten that I should have remembered. So this year, they gave me a, Wayne bought it, right? You know, a book to write in.
Are you doing it?
Sometimes.
No.